Chapter 29, Securing a Power Press and Building a New Meeting House. Printed in the Review and Herald, January 30, 1936. Upon their return to Battle Creek from Waukon, Iowa, about the middle of January 1857, James and Ellen White found much to encourage them at the Review office. With Uriah Smith in charge of the editorial work and correspondence, and Stephen Belden, assisted by George Amidon, in charge of the typesetting and press work, the business of the office was well managed. The sale of publications had shown a remarkable increase, due largely to the revival of the spiritual life and missionary activity of our people under the proclamation of the Laodicean message. But these blessings to the work at large were productive of perplexity and suffering on the part of the workers at the publishing house. The faithful employees were heavily overworked, and it was evident that they were breaking in health. The routine work of the office, with the increasing circulation of the Review and the Instructor, was all that they could do with their meager facilities. And now they were faced with the necessity of replenishing their stock of books and pamphlets. When James White took an inventory in the stockroom, he found the shelves nearly empty. He made out a list of the leading publications somewhat as follows. Title, Sanctuary in 2300 Days, On Hand, 8. Signs of the Times, paper covers, none. Signs of the Times, bound copies, a few. Four Universal Monarchies, 27. History of the Sabbath, 50. Truth Found, 3. Two-Horned Beast, none. Besides this shortage of standard publications, there was need for the revision and reprinting of the Sabbath tracts and works on the immortality of the soul. How could the stock be replenished and the increasing demand supplied with the meager facilities at hand by the overtaxed office force? The situation was truly serious. It was evident that a power press was urgently needed to supply the volume of literature called for and to conserve the energies of the workmen. In the Review for March 19, 1857, James White set forth the above situation, and as added reasons for the need of a power press, he wrote, "With our hand press, it takes 3 days of each week to print the Review and Herald. Should the circulation of the Review and Herald be doubled, which we may hope it soon will be, there will be no room for the Instructor, and a large amount of work such as preachers' handbills, commandment cards, etc., etc. There are but few young men at this day, when printing is mostly done by steam power, who become pressmen, and there are less who can constantly work a hand press without breaking down in health. Our first pressman bled at the lungs. We then hired the Review and Herald and all our books, excepting some small tracts, printed on a power press. Brother T.B. Meade came to the office expressly to work the press, and although he did only the lighter press work, was obliged to leave the office on account of spitting blood. Brother Belden has been obliged to leave the press several times for similar reasons. But the principal reason given for the need of a power press in the office was the necessity for reprinting most of the publications. James White wrote, "Should the hand press run continually, day and night, we think it would not do all our printing and supply the call for books the present year." As showing the enthusiasm of brethren in the field regarding the wider use of publications, Elder White quotes from H. C. Churchill of Vermont as follows. "I feel that the time has come when our publications should be spread broadcast over the land, free of charge, as they were in 1844. I think all the messengers should have tracts on the subject of the Sabbath and other points of present truth to give to all that want to examine our position as they visit new fields. If I am correct, I want you to send $5 worth of tracts to every messenger that is in the field that is supported by the church. The tracts should be small, so as to get as much reading as possible for the amount of money. I believe the time has come when we should begin to act as though we believed what we profess. To this proposed plan, James White gave his hearty approval and then showed the advantages of a power press in producing literature in better form and at less expense. He estimated the cost of purchasing and installing a power press to be between $2,000 and $3,000. Referring to what brethren had said to him about the advisability of getting the press and their willingness to help with $100 donations, he expressed the belief that more than 20 such men could be found. He then appealed for brethren who were able and willing to send in their pledges very soon, in order that with the means in hand, definite action to procure the press might be taken at a conference to be held in Battle Creek less than 1 month later. On the same page of the review where appeared this appeal for the power press, there are listed the names of D. R. Palmer, A. B. Burnell, Elon Everts, Richard Godsmark, and John Byington as having pledged $100 each. At the conference, convened in Battle Creek, April 12, 1857, with Joseph Bates as chairman and Uriah Smith as secretary, the needs of the publishing work were given first consideration, and it was unanimously voted that a press be obtained for the review office. $100 had been sent by delegates from the church in Jackson, Ohio. Another delegate brought a pledge for the same amount from E. Aldrich of Addison, Michigan, and the names of four of those present were added to the list of liberal donors. By further action, all business pertaining to the purchasing of the press was confided to the hands of the publishing committee. Another matter of importance considered at this conference was the providing of a suitable place of worship in Battle Creek. It was now more than 2 years since the little 18-by-24-foot board and batten church on Cass Street was erected. The membership had steadily increased till the church was crowded by the regular Sabbath congregation, and no place was adequate for general meetings. Very little argument was needed in the discussion, for to quote the report in the review, "The necessity for this was very sensibly felt by most of those present. It was therefore resolved that a house that will conveniently seat about 300 or 400 people is much needed in this place and should be erected as soon as possible." After the conference, Elder White continued his activities as preacher, writer, and businessman until the middle of May, when he took an eastern trip to buy the power press. Meanwhile, Mother was completing testimony for the church number 3, to which reference has been made as being largely related to the message to the Laodicean church. See Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, pages 141 to 153. Like Numbers 1 and 2, this was a 16-page booklet. In the review of May 7 is an announcement that for the power press, $1,700 have been pledged in sums of $100 each by 17 persons, 11 of them in this state. James White expressed his hope that this amount would be materially increased by those attending conferences in the East for which he made appointment. Father and Mother were not unmindful of the welfare of their children, whom they were obliged to leave at home when traveling among the churches. They had not been satisfied with the attention we received during their trip to Illinois and Iowa, and soon after their return, they inserted the following note in the review. "We would say to those Eastern brethren who have been expecting a visit from us soon, that we can cheerfully leave our children in good hands and go abroad to labor. Is there not some brother and sister who have no small children, who can come into our family or settle nearby, with whom we can leave our children safely? When the time came for them to take the eastern trip to purchase the power press, no one had been found to take charge of the White home, so my parents left Henry and Edson with trusty friends and took me with them. This, my first long trip, was a memorable experience for me. Several important general meetings were held on the way to the Atlantic coast. From Boston, under date of May 27, Father wrote, "Brother Smith, we ordered a power press yesterday to be finished in 5 weeks at a cost here, cash down, of $1,690.42. Transportation to Battle Creek will probably be $150. With this business completed, a few weeks were spent in meetings with old friends in the New England states. The following characteristic summary of the trip was given with comments by James White in the review of July 16, 1857. We reached home the 9th. During the last 8 weeks, we have traveled about 2,400 miles, have preached generally 4 times each week, have transacted business amounting to between $3,000 and $4,000, and return improved in health and cheered in spirits. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up quick. Praise his dear name for all he has done for us. Praise his holy name. Some poor souls have been waiting and watching and hoping that the review would go down and that we should die. True, we may fall suddenly if the Lord removes his sustaining hand. But as one said in Wisconsin, that he was giving up all hopes of the review going down, so they may also despair of our dying at present. When the press arrived in Battle Creek, Stephen Belden, with his helpers, set it up and put it in operation. Under the heading Power Press, we find in the issue of July 30 this statement: "This number of the review is printed on the Power Press. Up to this time, everything connected with this enterprise has gone off most pleasantly and prosperously." The press was first set up with equipment for using hand power, 2 men tugging at a big crank attached to the heavy flywheel kept the press in action. It was hard work, but they insisted that it was vastly easier than pulling the lever of the Washington hand press. And 6 times as many sheets were printed in an hour. But the need for a steam engine was evident and urgent, and in his energetic manner, James White drew upon the liberality of the brethren still further, with the result that by October, a 3-horsepower engine was installed, and then moving at top speed, it was possible to print 1,200 impressions an hour. The total cost of the press and engine with their transportation and setting up was less than $2,500. This does not seem a large sum to us today, who are accustomed to think in terms of tens of thousands, but the $100 gifts represented real sacrifice on the part of the few who were able to give that much. Workmen received $1 or $1.50 a day for work for which their successors now receive from $3 to $7. Here is an illustration of the spirit the believers manifested at that time. When Elder White visited Richard Godsmark of Bedford, Michigan, and asked him to be one of the men giving $100 each to help purchase the power press, he found Brother Godsmark in the back lot, logging. He was working with a fine yoke of oxen and was piling up logs to burn. Letting the oxen rest, Brother Godsmark listened to James White's appeal. He was deeply interested and desired to help, but he did not have $100 at his command. "But," said he, "I can sell these oxen and get a part of the amount." So in the first list of 5 subscribers there appears his pledge of $100. In the list of donors, as finally reported, there are 20 contributions of $100 each, 1 of $50, 4 of $25, 1 of $20, and 25 ranging from $15 down to $2. There was an overflow sufficient to pay for the publication of a small edition of History of the Sabbath by J. N. Andrews. In the meanwhile, progress was also being made in raising money for the new meeting house. The site chosen was one of the two lots purchased by Joseph Frisbee in 1853 for $50, and it was decided to build the house facing Van Buren Street. Plans for a meeting house to accommodate a congregation of 400 worshipers would seem relatively unimportant to many of us today. But to some earnest souls in those days of small beginnings, it appeared to be an evidence of increasing worldliness. James White wrote, "We are credibly informed that Brother Loughborough has to meet a report in Wisconsin that Sabbath keepers are building a meeting house in Battle Creek at the cost of $3,000. This the disaffected ones use as evidence that we are becoming like the churches. Poor souls, somebody made up the story, and they love to report it. Now the truth is that the brethren have only talked of building a place of worship and have had no higher hopes than, by the aid of free will offerings of brethren in the state, to erect a plain house which might cost $500. Such a house we need, we must have it, and have no doubts but it will be completed this fall." During August, September, and October, the building of the meeting house was pushed forward by the carpenters and willing helpers of the Battle Creek Church, and the place of worship was occupied November 6 by the brethren assembled in General Conference. From the unique and characteristic call to the conference by James White, as published in the Review of October 29, 1857, we may form some picture of what to us might seem the primitive conditions under which these gatherings were held. After calling for a general rally of brethren not only from Michigan but from other states and from Canada, he says, "We will feed with hay as many horses as we can put in our barns. We will lodge as many as we can provide beds for, then give up our floors and barn chambers to those brethren who can best endure such lodgings. Those who can will do well to bring provisions, buffalo robes or bedclothes, so that they can lodge in the old meeting house. Come along, brethren and sisters, bring what you can, and we will do what we can for you." And while proffering the generous hospitality of the believers in Battle Creek, Elder White plainly stated his purpose to ask from the visitors substantial aid in completing payment for the new meeting house in which they were to assemble. He continued, "These are hard times, brethren, but come prepared to do something as the Lord hath prospered. We will take gold, silver, good bills, wheat, corn, oats, butter, cheese, deer skins, or good promises of help soon." In the invitation to attend this conference, special mention was made of those who might have felt slighted because of the scanty invitation to come to the conference last spring on account of the small size of our place of worship. And those who fear we are building too large were urged to attend if there is room for you all. Those who attended the general conference in the new meeting house were well entertained by the church at Battle Creek. With 250 present, the house was comfortably seated. In the business meetings, hearty approval was given to the action taken in procuring and setting in motion the press and engine and the building of the meeting house. It was reported that the total cost of the church was $880, of which $554 had been raised in cash or pledges. Those present raised $134, and the responsibility for the balance of less than $200 was accepted by the Michigan Brethren. At these meetings, the spiritual meetings were considered of primary importance, and at this time in the preaching services, special emphasis was placed on the duty of the church in making a proper use of their possessions to advance the cause. Even this delicate subject was presented in such a spiritual manner that it was said, "The sweet spirit rested down upon the congregation. Frequently, the whole audience, with hardly an exception, would be in tears. The testimony, bearing the title, The Rich Young Man, Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, pages 170 to 178, containing instruction that had been given in vision to Mrs. White during the previous month, was read by her, and the congregation, by vote, requested its publication. In 2 weeks, it, with kindred matter, appeared in a 36-page booklet entitled Testimony for the Church, Number 4.